Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If there was ever a half-decent chance of a wave of Kiwi music making it big on the world stage, a Kiwi invasion if you will, well, we could be looking at it right now. Synthpop bands such as Naked and Famous and Kids of 88 are hitting the UK and US. The former is on the UK charts, the latter was recently being lauded by US tabloid blogger Perez Hilton. Hot on their heels are our next guests, Computers Want Me Dead, who have just released their debut self-titled EP. Sam and Damien join us now. Well, guys, the first EP, first of all, I want to establish the fact that there's two of you here, and that is the entire band, right?
Yes.
Because we were having a discussion the other night. I met Damien, my namesake, in a bar, and he said that you were a little bit, you weren't quite sure whether you'd call yourself a band, whether you'd call yourself, I mean, how do you refer to yourself?
I think we do refer to ourselves as a band, definitely. But sort of what we do is kind of a band DJ hybrid sort of thing. So, but we're pretty happy with the band.
We're not like a bio kind of eco car or anything, though.
Because there weren't initially. I mean, as you say, you sort of had to work out what you were doing. Is it, you know, it's obviously music that you're creating yourself, but when you're playing live, some of it's pre-recorded. I mean, that's pretty standard these days. But Damien, you sounded like you had some kind of philosophical kind of issues with where you stood.
I think because Sam and I both came from bands before where there was like five members and one person on keys, and we were not DJs. So because it is kind of a hybrid of DJing and performance, I think we were used to everyone playing all the instruments, and obviously there's a bit of DJing and electronic stuff going on that we kind of felt like it was cheating a little bit at first. But then as we kind of got through it, there were people doing almost nothing on stage.
There are people cheating a lot more than you. Let's put it that way.
There are people checking their MySpace. Like, there.
Because performance seems to be quite a big part of what you do. You play live a lot for an electronic act.
Definitely. I think, you know, it's we both love it. I think it's I'm quite new to the idea of performing electronic music live. I've just been sort of a bedroom producer for a long time, you know. So it's really cool buying heaps of cool toys and trying to work out how to present it.
Yeah. It is a bit of an oxymoron, like electronic live music, but like, yeah, it is. The thing is, the technology is catching up there, so that you are, like, we're about to set up a whole visual element to our show, and that's kind of something we're doing live as well as the music. So there's that kind of stuff that's just, it's a new thing. It's not like totally new. We're not the first people to do it, but you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, as much as you're getting your head around it, I understand that, you know, you've been places before where basically you know they're expecting a DJ to turn up effectively. You know you're at the back of stage. You just go where the behind the band's going to play later, mate. You just
behind the bass amp.
Yeah.
Is that that's sort of the problem where you get bands sort of sound checking over you and things like that?
No, not so much now. But there was definitely some earlier gigs where I think we got put behind a speaker stack, so we're like, okay, one amp, 10 songs, have a drink, awesome, let's just walk away.
Because basically we played a few DJ gigs, and in the early stages I used to play bass guitar over some of the songs, and playing in a DJ booth with a bass guitar and all the other gear we had just doesn't work, so we kind of scrapped that idea quite quickly.
The French horn went the...
totally. The Iraqi oud and the mandolin.
I have to ask, what is this wave of rehabilitated synth pop? Because
I think
it's cool now.
I think it's the whole, in a way that kind of, I feel like a bit of a cliche, but it is just the nostalgia of the era, you know, the era. Like, what was it, say, when the Datsuns were big, that was the nostalgia of the people making that music. It was that kind of rock and stuff. And I think it's going to be a cyclic thing. So I think, like, you know, Fresh Prince and all that's going to be amazing in about 5 to 10 years.
It does seem, though, that the nostalgia is always, because, I mean, how old are you guys?
28.
So you weren't really there, say, at the height of OMD or something in the early 80s, were you?
No, not really.
It's almost the nostalgia of your older brother's music, isn't
Pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
I think there's definitely an element of what our parents raised us on as well, you know, so...
Yeah, there's the music you grew up with, in a sense.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like the music that you drove around in the car to on summer holidays with your folks. So if I was going to start up a band, it would be the Carpenters, basically. Unfortunately, that's why I haven't started a band.
Yeah, they weren't playing Pet Shop Boys on Sesame Street when I was younger. Yeah.
You're often mentioned, I've noticed, in the same breath as Kids of 88 and The Naked and Famous. Do you feel a kinship with them? Are you okay with that?
I think musically we are, like, in a broad sense similar, but I think they're three very separate bands.
I think we came out at about the same time
as Kids of 88. It's timing more than anything,
And we sort of played a few gigs together and stuff. So it's a pretty easy comparison to make, I suppose, but there's definitely similarities in our music.
I mean, potentially you could all end up on a compilation CD of great
totally
electronic synth pop.
We've all toured quite a lot together. On many bills, it's been us three and then Zoe.
And when you're talking about those three acts, they've all actually been doing quite well lately.
Yeah, they've been doing insanely well. I think Naked and Famous were 25th on the albums chart in the UK. That's not bad, eh?
What does that mean these days? About 10 actual CDs were sold and quite a lot of illegal downloading or something?
I think that the charts are mostly pay download now, so there's no digital. Actual physical sales counted in New Zealand, at least anyway. So.
We were surprised. When we released the EP, a lot of people were like, oh, I'm going to wait till I can get a physical copy. And we were genuinely surprised that that many people...
We're still that interested in buying music on a CD.
Because you released, I understand, you sort of self-published this EP, is that right? Self-released?
Yeah, we put it out through Isaac Promotions, which is our manager's company, yeah.
And that's a thousand, and you did 1,000, and they're all gone, basically, I understand.
We did a run of 1,000, and then we've only left, and I didn't give my dad one. He was spewing.
Because, I mean, 1,000 physical sales is actually, I know Russell can probably back me up on these days, that's huge.
Actually pretty good these days.
And that all sold in the first hour, just, you know.
So how does that work for you? You don't have a label, but you go to an aggregator who then distributes?
Isaac is kind of, they have a distribution deal with Universal, so Universal puts out our music for us, essentially. But we don't have to sign with anyone, which is really cool. So we kind of retain control of everything that we do at this point.
Is that the same for iTunes as well?
Yeah. Universal handle that side of things for us. Covering fire lines and drawing pins, forge your path through the fog we
navigate. I understand you're about to embark on a world-conquering world tour.
That's the plan.
In October.
Yeah.
700 dates.
I think I think we're going to the States, the UK,
Europe,
parts of Europe, and hopefully Japan.
Yep. Okay, so October's actually not that far. So what are you going to do between now and then? Work on the album.
That's already underway. So
and work on the live set. We're kind of wanting to revamp the live set. We've got some new toys and we're adding like a visual element, which is kind of key for us. I think that was the big thing with being a duo is that. You know, even though when there's two of you on stage, as much as we can do on stage, there's only two guys to look at. So we kind of wanted to add that for it. Yeah,
I think it's fair to assume that Kraftwerk without the visual element would be four boring guys standing by laptops. You know,
you move around more than Kraftwerk.
Yeah, but it's hard to rock out when you're playing A minor on a keyboard. You know, it's like. Yeah.
Well, what sort of, particularly for the world tour, what sort of venues will you be playing? Will there be clubs or venues?
I think that typically. At this stage, what we're doing fits really well into a club scenario. It didn't used to before we worked out how to actually make the sounds live, and we used to often have like sort of feedback issues playing in little DJ booths and stuff. But we've ironed it out now, and I think we just get a really good response in clubs. So
yeah, we've gotten an unexpectedly large response from dance culture,
which wasn't what
we anticipated initially. Like George FM and all the dance labels and stuff that have always, and like people overseas on dance labels, we've kind of been approached by, and we're like, Oh, wow. Okay.
Then we got asked to play at some underground gym and fetish bar or something.
It was underneath. Yeah. It was underground bar that was underneath the swimming pool in an art gallery.
Yeah. Well, let us know how that one goes. Yeah. Just a couple of quick questions to finish up. I noticed either of you wear glassless spectacles.
No. I wear sunglasses to stop the sun.
Either of you have fixed gear bikes?
No.
Okay, cool. You're breaking down the barriers. Nice to see. Hey, good luck on that tour with the album. We hope to hear more from you, and we're going to go out with a bit more of the music from your EP.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
And that's Computers Want Me Dead, whose self-titled EP is sold out, but I'm sure you can get a copy online somewhere. That's all we've got time for on the show this week. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. Till next week, I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.